the previous 2 weeks, what God was doing just really touched my heart. But even since then, this is a minor thing, but all of us ladies will understand it. I'm in the process, hopefully it's not too drawn out, but at the moment it is, the process of buying the mother of the bride outfit. And everyone says to me, what color are you picking? And of course, as time goes on, they're saying even more, what color are you wearing? Because we all need to get clothes too. And we don't want to wear what you're wearing. Well, I feel like it's about three colors, really, that I'm choosing between. Really two. And my sister called me the other day from Dallas and said, I've got my dress. And it's this color, which is one of my two. And I went, great. Okay, great. Great for you. Terrible for me. Because I think it's one of my colors that I'm deciding between. And she said this. She said, well, if you like, I'll send it back. Now, you have to understand the relationship that we've not had to understand that that really touched me, because I thought, she's preferring. She's laying down even what she had found. And so, how many people still have estranged relationships that they need a breakthrough on? Or you know, I want you to stand, and I want us to take this. And I want Anne to share her testimony, and I want you to stand. It's good when husbands and wives say, remember so-and-so? because when my sister was here, we stood at the front together, and that was, I think, a really prophetic sign. I think something broke in the heavenlies. Anne took hold of that for herself, so I want you to share what happened.
Yeah. I've had an estranged relationship with my oldest son since he got married. And it was my birthday on Thursday, and I've got two little grandchildren I hardly ever see that he and his wife have. And on Thursday morning, Nikki and I had breakfast together, and she said to me, what's God given you for your birthday? And I said, I'm not sure, but I know what I would like from God, and that is a restored relationship with Phil. And so I had a lovely day, and then at about 6 o'clock on Thursday, Phil hasn't sent me a birthday card, never mind a present, for 4 years. he phoned up, and he said, oh, did you get the present? Now, I got a little, you know, thing while I was out saying there's a parcel for you, delivery card. And he then said it was in this box, special delivery, which I went to get on Saturday. But we had a 15-minute, 20-minute conversation. Instead of the usual monosyllabic and me phoning, it was a really special phone call. And I spoke to my little grandson on the phone. So, and also, they said, can we come up and see you in July for a day? And I just thought, God, you are amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. So, those of us that need a breakthrough, yeah? And maybe you can just go around and lay hands on a few. But Father, we take hold of what you're doing in the heavenlies. Just if you're near these people, can you just reach a hand out to them and say, you know what, I'm going to stand with you and reach up for you. Because in some places, as with my sister, I was tired and didn't actually want to pursue much, although knowing that I should, and not really knowing where to start and where to begin and how on earth do you turn a page and how do you do this. And the Lord just orchestrated this for my sister and I, and it was so glorious for both of us to watch, because there's so much ground that would need turning over. There's so many issues to talk through. There's so much time. There's so much stuff that getting to the bottom of it is almost bigger than you can possibly cope with, and part of the reason why we don't pursue restoration. So, Father, I just impart to these ones what you gave to Vicky and I. Just that you intervened and you just put a plan of action at work that we didn't even really know what you were doing till we were halfway through. And, Father, that's how big you are. You can just do this without a lot of effort on our part, just with the tiniest of decisions that says, Lord, okay, if you can do something with this, I'm willing. And so, Father, we just lay hands on these and take hold of. This testimony is alive and well. It's the testimony of Jesus. It never dies. It's alive. And we just call these relationships to life that have been dormant, that have been strained, that have been just so abusive and offensive, Lord, probably on both sides. We just give to you the whole tangled mess and say, Lord, would you just take this? And would you turn a page somehow? Would you begin a work of restoration? Would you comfort hearts, Lord, where it just seems impossible? Father, we just step into that place where it's impossible with us. We can't do it. I know there's some of you that just need to let the pain out this morning. Actually, I want to take a few minutes on this. And just let the grief out. For some of you, you've done all you know to do. And the frustration levels are overwhelming. Father, just come. Holy Spirit, would you pour your comfort into these hearts where we've done all we know to do? Or even what else we would try, Lord, just seems so big we can't cope. Father, thank you that you make a way where there is no way. You make the crooked places straight. You clear the path. Lord, we just stand with them this morning and just help to move some boulders. Maybe some of you feel to do this. I feel like prophetically some of you actually need to pick up some rocks around them and move the rocks and actually move the boulders out of the way that are in the way. Come on, act it out. Those who are playing, move a boulder spiritually out of the way. It is not God's will for broken relationships. It's not. It's God's will that family be a source of strength and comfort, that relationships that he's given us are a source of strength and comfort. Some of you might be in a trench and you just need to, just those who are praying for them, just act it out and lift them out of it. You don't have to lift them, but lift them out of that, the place that's so deep they don't know how to get out of it. Father, we move the logs and the debris on the road. We move the rocks. We move the boulders. We say no. We as a church family come alongside our family to say no. This is not how we want to live. This is not what we choose. This is not okay. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers of division and separation and accusation. And it's not God. Whoa. Father, we take authority over those spirits that are interfering with these lives, that are causing so much distraction, so much time in conversation, so much worry, sleeplessness. Father, sleeplessness comes off people right now where they're stressing and thinking and vexing and going over, how do I deal with this? How do I handle this? Where it's settling on their hearts, settling on their minds, settling on their bodies. We break it off. We break it off. Lord, we see by faith that you are restoring this to be, at least for all of us, an example of healthy family. You're restoring healthy family in all the broken places. We give to you afresh, Holy Spirit, the broken places, the broken relationships. We give you our frustrations. We give you our tiredness. We give you our angst. We give you our pain and say, Lord, we stand on your promises that are true, what you've begun, what you're doing with my relationships, with Anne's relationships, our first fruits of a harvest for us as a church family. It's a harvest for us as a church family. Lord, I just dare to believe you that you actually want here on earth examples of proper family relationships. Like we've all learned with the Sozo ladder, you actually want examples of good family relationships. That the world would see we love one another. But Father, we need your help. We need your miracle working power to flow through these. So Father, I pray that you would just begin to take the pressure valve of responsibility off of them. The pressure valve that says, if it's going to happen, it's up to me. And we just want to stand alongside you as our family today and say that we're helping to shoulder this. We're helping to stand with you and say, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to call life out of places that seem well and truly dead. We stand beside you and dare to believe that God will restore what is unrestorable. Because he's big. He's big. So each of you that have received prayer, just reach up into heaven and say, I'm going to take it. I might not really feel it, but as a choice, I'm going to take my inheritance of family restoration, of relationship restoration. And I'm going to trust you to work it out. In Jesus' name. You can stay with those folks if you want. You know, with my sister and I, we would have never orchestrated a get-together. We wouldn't have planned it. It would have been that much stress around it and that many unresolved issues. We wouldn't have known how to start, really. And it just started, really, with a phone call. She was in London a day early from when I was going to see my dad, and she was telling me her woes about not being picked up at the airport. And I just felt this tiniest of whispers. To be honest with you, it was so faint. I in no way thought it was God. It was just, why don't you go early? And so I went a day early. We were actually on our way somewhere. And I don't know whether you said it to me. Maybe Chris said it to me. Have a good friend who speaks into your life. That was the commercial message. But she said, why don't you go today? So we turned around from where we were headed and went home, got my stuff, and off I went. And so we had several hours together where we just cried and laughed and had a whale of a time. And had an amazing 3 days that week and I think 4 days the following week. It was just amazing. It was just amazing. And my worry had been the previous week, if she's there, I'm not sharing a room. Guess what I got to do? And it was fine. God is preparing a place. Just tell the person beside, he's preparing a place. Sometimes in the presence of our enemies, which are even family. Sometimes family is enemies, isn't it? Till we get these things sorted. At least we feel like that. They're not our enemies, but we feel like it. Anybody else got anything great that's happened this week or in the last couple of weeks? Yep. Come on, Amanda. Come on up and share. She's wearing flats. Perhaps something to do with the announcement.
I just wanted to share some news with you. I've just had quite a stressful last 3 months. Because I'm actually now 3 months pregnant. Yay. Hence the flat shoes. Hence why you haven't seen me quite that often, because I've been struggling somewhat. I had a private scan yesterday morning for Down syndrome, and my scoring was really good, considering I'm over 40. So that was a big weight off our mind, because we've been worrying about that. So it's been great.
And how's John?
It's like a dog with two tails.
Yeah. Can we just have some folks pray for her? Can I put my hand on your tummy? Father, we bless in Jesus' name what you have ordained. Thank you, Lord, that you've known this little one before it was ever formed in Amanda's womb. You knit it together. Lord, we bless. We bless this little one in Jesus' name. May you be healthy and strong. May you be healthy and strong. May you honor and love God. May you bring honor to your family. But Jesus, we just thank you for miracles. Thank you for miracles, Lord. Thank you. A couple years ago, you reached down and drew Amanda to a place of knowing you. And so much has happened in blessing her life, Lord. Thank you that you're the God of restoration.
Father, we thank you that there's no age restriction. on feeling and knowing your experience, that even as John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb at the mention of the name of Jesus. Father, may this baby leap in Amanda's womb at the mention of your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you knew him or her before they were formed in their mother's womb, that you have plans and purposes for them, plans to give them a hope and a future. And Father, we welcome this little one into this world. Even before you're born, we welcome you and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just want to thank you for the bond between John and Amanda, and that this baby comes into a loving home. And I just want to pray a blessing upon all three of them, Lord, that they will be among the first to be this light in their neighbourhood. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Lord, to you be all the praise.
Thank you, Lord.
And no morning sickness, P.S. Let's take up our offerings. Father, thank you that you give us resources to enjoy life and to have so many fun toys and so many fun things that we like. But Lord, we also recognize that you're our provider. And so in obedience, Father, we give you our tithes. Give back to you the tenth that you require that is yours, that's holy unto you. Give it to you, Lord, that you would continue to teach our hearts to trust you in all that you put into our hands, in all that you give us. Lord, would you meet every need that the church has? Would you meet every need that individuals and families have? Would you give us access to give away, Lord? Would you turn us into givers in the true sense of the word? Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Who else wants to share some good news? Sure. Anita, you need to share about work. It's huge. It's been 2 years.
As a few of you know, I'm not feeling particularly special at the moment. And about 10 days ago, I had a big crisis, sort of emotionally. And in the middle of that, sort of between having a real downer and trying to sort of get myself up again, I get a phone call from a friend saying she's in a total state of panic, she's got to have a blood test. She's never had a blood test in her life. The woman is 40. and so straight after counseling, I went down there. And thinking, what on earth can I do? I'm in such a state myself. How am I supposed to calm her down? So I arrived there, big place, trying to find her first. She's already had three nurses up in arms by this time. Get there. We sit down. The minute we sit down, total calm, she turns around to me, starts talking about her family get-together a couple of weeks back. And that was it. All I needed to do is sit there and actually listen to her. And that was the end of it all. And I'm considering what all the fuss is about before. I was really gobsmacked just. I was just sitting there thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. I mean, she didn't even feel the needle going in or coming out, and they took loads for some reason, but she was fine.
And how were you?
I was fine as well. Well, it all went a lot better than expected. I mean, I was still jittery because of my own situation, but it hadn't actually made anything worse for myself, which is good news.
It is good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Awesome. He who lives in you is great, huh? Well done, Claudia. Giving when we feel empty. Because he who lives in us is still in us. Ain't that so, Paul?
I had another six-month contract at Centro, and my last day is Tuesday, and there's been a restructure at Centro and lots of jobs are at risk, but I have been told that my contract is extended. Hey. The person I spoke to didn't know how long or what I'd be doing, but it's been extended. So I'm just trusting God that the time scale, it's in his hands. So that's really good news.
Awesome. And how are the knees?
The knees haven't got worse, but they're about the same.
Can we have some folks come and pray for Vicky's knees? They're not sure whether, because of her long-term diabetes, whether this is a side effect. But you know what? We're saying no. We're saying no. So come on. Six or seven people, lay hands on her feet and her knees and say, we're having healing in Jesus' name. Yeah. Kick the diabetes out, too. Thank you.
I've had a situation at work where I have a receptionist who I line manage, and for 2 years we've been at loggerheads, really. She went for my job and she didn't get it, and then I was brought in from another school, and you know, there's been a lot of issues, so that's her word. But we haven't got on. She doesn't like me. I don't like her. But we have to work together. And
You're her boss.
Yeah, but she would never accept me as her boss. And she would, if she didn't agree with something that I said, she would go straight to the head teacher. And you know, so in the end, the head teacher got involved, and the head teacher was trying to line manage her, and I would have to tell the head what I wanted doing, and the head would tell her. And I mean, it was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And then. Last summer, she actually took out a grievance against me. So we had to work through all that, and it just went on and on and on, and things were just getting worse and worse. So in the end, it was almost like a type of bullying, really, because she was sort of just kept on at me all the time. She would pick me out. She accused me of rummaging through her desk drawers and things like, well, you know, it's public property, I'm the boss in the office, so I'm quite entitled. I only ever did it once with a witness because I knew what she was like. But anyway, it got worse, and she kept. And so after that one time, I went through her desk looking for some paperwork that she'd lost. I never ever went round there, but lots of other people use her desk. But then she put a memo in June. In March, saying that I'd been through her desk again. And I thought, you know what? You come to a point where enough's enough. So I put a grievance in against her. Because with the city council, it's awful because you've just got to do everything by the book. Anyway, part of the grievance procedure was that my union representative said to me that he would recommend that we went to mediation. And that, you know, even if it didn't work, I had to look as if I was trying to resolve the situation. So anyway, we went to mediation, and the chap came, and he saw me for 15 minutes, then he saw her, and then we were in this room together, the three of us, you know. And he said, you know, don't talk to me, you've got to talk to each other, and, you know, what's the issue sort of thing. So we talked about issues, and at one point she'd accused me of doing something, and I said, well, I either want you to say, yes, I did it, or no, I didn't, because then I can deal with either way, but not I think you did. And but she wouldn't agree to go one way or the other, and she started saying, I'm not being bullied into giving one answer or the other. And the chap, and he was from the local authority, so he's a complete outsider, and he said, well, I'm going to put a stop to this right now. He said, I've been mediating for 20 years. He said, I've only ever stopped mediation twice, because I think there's going to be no resolution. He said, and this could be the third time. He said, but I'm not being part of... any bullying, he said, and I don't see that there's any bullying going on here. So, you know, it's up to you, sort of thing. Anyway, she then took back what she'd said I hadn't done what she'd said, and we sort of talked through a few things. And I have to say, since then, well, I mean, let me go back. Before that, I'd got to the point where I decided we were going to pray her out because she wasn't shifting. You know, we'd taken her through incompetency and all sorts of things, but we were going to pray her out because... And in fact, last year I actually went for another job because it was a fight or flight situation. I couldn't deal with it, so I thought, oh, forget it, I'll just go and work at a different school. But, you know, I didn't like the other school and things, and I thought, well, why should I give up a job I really love because of one person? So there's quite a lot of history there, 2 years' worth of rubbish. I won't say the C word. And,
So anyway, since the mediation, I do know it's got to be God, because there's been a total turnaround, and it's all, yes, Nita, no, Nita, what would you like me to do, Nita? And I mean, it's a bit creepy, really, because I've been so used to, you know, having my guard up against her. And but it's peace and harmony has been restored, which is so nice, and I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That's great. Well done. It's amazing, eh? God wants to do some surprising things where there's no way. He wants to say, ta-da! Do you have your little kids, when they were little, they'd come in a room, ta-da! I'll embarrass Jackie, but every outfit Jackie ever got, ever, since she was one, every outfit she ever got, she had to open the present, go put it on, and come back in, ta-da! And then we would get to the next present. You can imagine what birthday parties were like. Yeah, ta-da. God wants to be ta-da. He wants to say, ta-da, here I am. Anybody else want to share? What's God doing? I want to hear from our church family. Yeah, come on, Judith.
No, I'm not.
Shut up.
Sorry. Last week, before Laurie started to talk about her sister and everything, I stood at the back of the church and I heard God say, you shouldn't look for your elders to lead by example. Why don't you? Oh, yeah, right, okay, here we go. So, I've got this issue with my sister. And when I heard that, I thought, right, what do I do here now? And the thought came to me, if I'm not supposed to look up to my elders to do something and it's got to come from me, then I've got to do something here. So I thought about it and I thought, right, Lord, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Today, I'm going to go to my sister's and I'm going to ask her, has she got a day free during the week? Not that I wanted to, believe you me. So I took Terrell to basketball and then popped over to hers and asked her, and she gave me two dates. And the two dates I didn't really want to do. Well, I didn't want to do it anyway. But she told me the Saturday, and I thought, right, okay, not a problem. So anyway, moving forward, we got to the Friday, and my brother actually said to me, oh, she's gone away. And I thought, great, result. I don't have to do this anymore. Just being honest, I thought, great, a result. I don't have to do this. And then I thought, right, okay. So I text her thinking that she'll say, oh, no, I'm not in Birmingham. So I thought, and she texts back and she says, yes, we are on today. And I thought, oh, God. All right. So I went and I picked her up and I says to her, where would you like to go to eat? And she says, if you know my sister, we're totally different. You know, yes, absolutely different. That's Nita. Totally different. And she said, I said, where do you want to go to eat? You've got two choices, blah, blah, blah. And she says, oh, I'll go to Nando's. I've never been there before. So I thought, oh, okay. So I took her to Nando's and we sat there and we talked and whatever. Not about any issues or anything like that, because during the week I actually thought, well, I've got no money to take her, so that's another reason I don't have to do this. And I've got a bill to pay, and I've got this, and I've got that. And I can hear God saying, but you need to do it. You need to do it. I'll provide. You need to do it. I thought, all right, Lord. So I did, and we talked. And even today, as I was being prayed for, I actually thought, this is much deeper than what I really want it to be. And am I really prepared? And I can honestly stand here and say, I'm not prepared. I am not prepared, and I do not want to go down that road. But I have to think, if God's doing it, then I have to. but I can honestly stand here and say, I don't want to do it. But saying that yesterday did work out all right, and she was happy, and she kept on talking, and I kept on thinking, I've got to go and pick Shauna up, But glory to God, I've got one step further, but we'll see where that leads.
Well done, you.
I'm not coming back.
Break that. Snap, snap. Anybody else want to share? No? Everybody else happy and well then? Yeah? How are the Hendons? Struggling, huh? Can we just have one or two people just sit with Dot and Paul and just encourage her this morning? Yeah? Just go sit by them and soak them a little bit. If you have your Bibles, I've woken up to this probably about 4 or 5 times in the last couple of weeks. And so I just want to share what I feel to share. And it's, we'll see, Revelation chapter 4. We all have situations, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, some we're excited about, some we're terrified about, some we're tired of, some we're discouraged with, etc. But it doesn't change who God is. It does change how we feel. But feelings, as Chris likes to say, are subject to change. And they do. You know, we can have a bit of bad news through the post or bad news somewhere, and man, it can really spiral us. But the truth is, God is real and God is big. And the reason I know that is because I've felt him. And the reason you know that is because you felt him. Because you have had an encounter with God that changed your whole belief system on whether there is a God or not. Isn't that amazing? You know, we've been to movies. We were hearing some people's story last night. Honestly, I thought I was watching 24 or something, which I can't stand because of the chaos and distress in the situation when you watch 24. I can't stand that series. Just makes me leave. It makes me feel that uptight by the time I'm done. There's no closure. We're just on to the next week. And that'll still won't be closed because they'll make a movie that finishes it or something. But some encounter happened with you and I. And for most of us, it's several encounters that have happened over a course of time that have changed our whole belief system. Isn't that true? Because we've, the world, especially in the West, we have all this access to different faiths and different philosophies and different theologies and different ways of looking at things and different secularism. My goodness, the television would bombard us. Let's just pick one topic, premarital sex. If you watch TV, there is no way you could grow up in this generation not thinking it is completely normal to sleep with people all the way along in life. No way you would think that. We are trained with what we watch on TV. And, you know, if we have a filter system that's already in there, we're slightly protected from that. But you and I have had an encounter with something that completely changed our way of thinking about everything. Completely, radically changed it. And I just feel this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us how big he is and how significant that really is. Because I've watched lots of episodes of Friends. I like Friends. I think it's funny. I've watched lots of episodes of Frasier. I think Frasier's funny. It's never changed my philosophy on premarital sex. Do you know that? But one encounter with God completely changes our philosophies, our ideologies, our theologies. Everything I believe begins to be undone by an encounter with God. And the question is, who is this person? Who is this thing? What is this force that is taking my heart by storm, that is completely rearranging the way I think and feel about things. As a matter of fact, once you become a Christian, if you step back into sin, the conflict that ensues from the inside out because of the sin is overwhelming. Because the wiring has changed, hasn't it? You can't just say, oh, well, it doesn't matter anymore. You can tell yourself 1,000 times it doesn't matter. Your heart has been changed and rewired, and now you know there's a difference. And that's incredible, isn't it? And in the mundane life that we have, and in the ups and downs and the disappointments and the changes, and, you know, we all hate change. In all of that, we have had an encounter with something that has completely revolutionized the way we will do everything else. And it's so good to meditate on that, because all the rest is constantly fluid. It's constantly changing. It's constantly moving. So many things we don't have control over. You know, I got an email from James that the school that filled out some of his immigration paperwork missed some of it. And so I don't know what that's going to do, because I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but obviously they filled it in wrong. I have no control over that whatsoever. Of course, he's looking to me to say, what can I do, and how can we help, and how do we fix this? He has no control over it. These are just little things, but they're big in our individual lives, aren't they? But they still don't rock the belief system. I know there's a God. I might be mad at him. Weren't you helping them fill in this paperwork? Where were you when this calamity happened? Where were you when, you know, stuff happens? But yet the belief system remains. Who on earth is this person, is this thing that has changed forever? It's like a chemical reaction, isn't it? It's like in chemistry. Sometimes when you combine elements together, they never, ever again go back to their original state. We have been born again by the Spirit of God, never to be the same again. Even if we did all the same stuff from now till Jesus came that we used to, we would not be the same. On the inside, we're wired different now. Just tell the person beside you, I'm different. You're different. Whatever's happened in your life, you're completely different now. Even though, you know what? Last week there wasn't enough money to pay the bills. This week there isn't enough money to pay the bills. Next week there might not be enough money to pay the bills. It's still the same. I'm not saying my own story here. I'm saying that we have these seasons, don't we? I mean, Chris is going to be doing a funeral on Tuesday for, you know, the lady Doreen, who's been a couple of times, lives in the neighborhood and has meant to come to Haven. I don't know whether she also heard the singing. Something happened. She's been in a story much like yours, in that she's walked past a number of times and felt to come in, but her husband's been so ill that she's been taking care of him a lot. Anyway, she started to come maybe about a month ago, and he just passed away last week. And her son died 4 years ago, and part of why she really wanted a close church is because she knew he was dying and she wanted him to have a Christian funeral. And so anyway, Chris went over and spent some time with her and this precious lady. They've been married 52 years, and the night before he died, he said, you know, I've only ever loved you. There's never been anyone else. And then he died. And so Chris is going to do the funeral. It's at Robin Hood at 11 o'clock, if any of you feel to support her in that, you can, at Robin Hood, a cremation. She's asked me to sing. I hate singing at funerals. Hate it. But, you know, it's what you do, isn't it, for people. But you see, we've had encounters that change our life, no matter what good happens or what bad happens, no matter what is consistent and what is inconsistent, no matter what is going our way and what isn't going our way. I mean, Jackie and Tony are in the throes of frustrations and decisions about all the little wedding details. And it is great. But, you know, there's always a moment, isn't it, when you're planning all this stuff, whatever the plan is, that you say, you know, it just would have been easier to just get eloped or go somewhere and just forget all this stuff. But it's glorious. But you see, that's how life is for us. It does not in any way negate the power source that changed my equilibrium. My equilibrium was changed. I'm aware of the day that I made a decision for Christ. I was 3, and I remember it. I was on my dad's bed. He talked to me about Jesus, and he said that I had done things wrong and that I needed a Savior to forgive me of whatever I did wrong and would do wrong, and did I want Jesus to be in my life? And I said, yes, and I remember the emotion of the moment. I remember the impact on my heart. And from that day forward, I am a Christian. I'm different. Now, I may behave just as badly at times. Lord knows we do, unfortunately. But something on the inside is wired different. And doesn't it make you stop and say, my goodness, what could have done that to me? Especially if you're in a low time, especially if you're in a time where actually he's not very near. I don't sense his presence like I did a month ago or a year ago. I don't feel him very close, but something has altered your entire belief system. And that's worth going, huh? I do need to remember that. I do need to reflect on that truth and say, there must be some more worth pursuing here. You may have watched all the 24 shows for however many years. Yeah. About 24 years. And yet you're still not a secret agent. You still may watch hundreds and hundreds of shows or Sex and the City. Like, ugh. And still not have that as your belief system. And yet one encounter with God made such a huge impact. And I just really feel like the Holy Spirit's reminding my heart and reminding our hearts, who is this? Because sometimes in the day-to-day, I lose sight of really how big he is, of who he really is that had that much impact on my heart. See, I could talk about the impact in Africa, or we could recount the parting of the Red Sea, or any of the amazing miracles that we can read. And those things are true. But one encounter with him changes it all. And we can't ever go back, even if we try. Even if we try, we can't go back. Revelations chapter 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Say, open. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Whoa. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. What does an emerald look like that looks like a rainbow? Amazing, eh? We were talking about the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And somebody was saying, watch that show. What's her name? Joanna Lumley. Apparently it's a good show to watch, where she finally sees the Northern Lights and she lies on her back in the snow, taking it in, just completely overwhelmed. That's probably a little tiny glimpse of what it looks like around the throne. And we need to begin to, the Bible says, meditate on what is good, what is true. Because so much of the other stuff is changing. But it doesn't feed me. It doesn't feed my soul. Because I'm still going back for that same encounter. Aren't you? I'm still after the one who changed my heart, the one who changed my belief system, the one who completely altered how I would make my decisions. He must be amazing. Even if at this particular moment, I don't feel it. Even if right now, life is not great, something happened that has completely and forever altered my belief systems. Who is this? Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal in the midst of the throne, and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Do you know we're going to see this? Just like John did. We're going to see this just like John did. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And there's something so on that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, who was and is to come. This person who I've not yet seen, I've heard an audible voice one time in my life, but I have not seen him. And yet this person is so huge. Not only did he create everything, but one encounter with him changed me forever, no matter what life has brought, good, bad, and ugly. My bad choices, other people's bad choices to me, no matter what has gone on, that belief system that there is a God has not altered in my life or yours. Amazing, isn't it? Now, we do have questions like, well, I know you're real, but where are you? But the altered place, the place that didn't know him and then knew him, has not altered. It's not reverted back to, well, therefore I don't. I had a coffee a few weeks ago with a girl who used to be a Christian and describes herself now as an atheist, comes from a ministry background, so of course she's got some wounds there, etc. But she's decided she's not a Christian. One of her concerns, as a matter of fact, in pursuing God is, what on earth will my children and husband think? Because I'm an atheist, and they know that. And yet she's asking me all these questions about the Lord. She wants to have a sozo. She spends hundreds of pounds on internet psychics. She has this person she communicates via chats in America. Yet her heart is saying, there's God. You know why? Because she had one encounter, at least, all those years ago. And whether she likes it or not, she cannot alter back to that original state. It's unalterable. In all the places in my heart and yours where we're saying, there must not be a God, because this is happening to me. How can there be a loving God with all this chaos happening in your life? But the point is, your heart has met this force that says, I am real. And we can never go back to that pre-state of, there is no God, so it doesn't matter. It's impossible because of who he is. Isn't that incredible? I just think that's amazing. Because we go through life's junk. We go through disappointments. We go through days and weeks of being overwhelmed with stuff and frustrated with things and, will this ever change? And all of that. What has altered is the one who met me is still the one pursuing me. The one who met me as a three-year-old is still the one pursuing me. He's still the one after me. He's still the one who has me like this. He's still that same one. I'm forever altered. Not just because of what happened when I was three, as big as that is. I'm still altered because he's still chasing me today. See, I didn't really find him. He found me, just like he found you. That's who he is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord who was and is to come forever. May my heart cry out, holy is the Lord, how big you are. How amazing you are. How amazing you are when you do something that just blows my mind at your faithfulness. How amazing you are when you answer a prayer, when you answer a secret cry of my heart. How amazing you are. But how amazing you are even when I don't see them, because something from the inside has altered in me. And I can never go back to that pre-God stage. I can never go back. I may go through seasons of frustration or discouragement or loneliness or fear or feeling abandoned or orphaned or all of those things. But I can never go back to a pre-God time again. And I just feel this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us. This is who altered you and I. This one that the elders and the spirits of God and the face of the man and the lion and the ox bowed down to, constantly declaring, holy is the Lord. There's nothing else they can say. And I actually don't feel negative about that because I have a sense in my spirit of how overwhelming it would be to be in his presence. I've never been in his presence where I didn't cry. I've never been in his presence where I'm not overwhelmed, that I can't contain who he is. I can remember, I've shared this before, when I'd been in Toronto for about a year, and I walked past the afternoon intercession meetings, and they were so wild and crazy. There were about 300 people, loud and demonstrative, and I walked past in business mode, because I was working, walked past the room, and just kind of hit a speed bump in my head. You know, I do have reason. I do have a decent brain. And I walked past and went, you know, this is just nuts. Is this for real? Like, this was off the chart of logical behavior. This was just, what is this? And I said, Lord, is this really you? See, the deal is just ask him. Ask him stuff. He is more than willing to share. He's anxious to converse with us, actually. And he said, remember Moses, how I told him he had to hide his face because he would die. Do you not think that if just a little bit of my presence and power was in that prayer meeting, those people would be physically affected, as Moses would have been physically affected? He would have been dead. Do you not think that there's some room between dead, where our bodies, Phil is a great example. We love to recount Phil's stories, by the way. Phil is very perceptive and receptive to the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, you know, Lord, that's true. That's true. But, you know, when I've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and I was doing something unusual for me, it was just glorious. It was just glorious. I can remember the first time I was really impacted in Toronto. I was on the floor for a couple of hours and I really needed the loo. I really needed the loo. And my concern was, Lord, but will you stop? If I move, you know, I just don't want to move from here because it will stop. And it didn't, of course. But that was my concern. I think I actually asked Carol at the time. Silly question, isn't it? But it's so glorious when you're in him. And the thing is, we just need to keep reminding ourselves, just get back in. Just get back in. That's why I love pictures of rivers and pools and stuff like that, because it's very visual for me. It's very easy for me to say, you know what, when you're lying beside the pool getting a tan and it's hot, just get in the pool. I could tan for days and weeks if there's a pool, but without it, forget it. It's too hot. Just get in the pool. And we need to just be reminded, he is this huge that it has altered history for you. Your history's altered. Altered. Just poke the person beside you and say, you're altered. You've been genetically modified. Yeah. We can understand that now. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures, verse 9, give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Whoa. Can we stand for a second? Father, I thank you that you're reminding us, your church, that no matter what we're going through, no matter how disappointed, no matter what aches and pains we have in our body, no matter what seems like a failure, no matter what seems like a defeat, no matter what's going right and what's going wrong, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, we just prophetically declare that over our church again. You are this one who forever altered my genetic makeup. You altered who I am. You changed my entire belief system. At some point, maybe lots of points, I gave you my whole life and said, it's all yours, you can do what you want with it. And yet in the day-to-day, Lord, I pick it back up again and say, but it's mine, and I'm mad at you for not answering. I'm mad at you for not doing this and not doing that. And yet, Lord, I remember again the encounters that so changed my belief system. My DNA is altered. I'm different. Father, just let a revelation this morning go through this room. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, who was, who is yet to come. Lord, we just embrace you this morning, the one who altered my life by choice with every good and perfect gift that you want to pour out. You are the one that I believe in. You are the one that I adore. You are the one that I remind my soul. I remind my soul, you are the one who I believe in. You are the one that I connect with. You are the one that I choose to say, still my hand is in yours. Because to be honest with you, even if you don't choose it, it still is. You'll just feel happier if you choose it. See, you're sealed to the day of redemption. My children, even if they move away from home, are still my children. That's not going to alter. You've been genetically modified now. Your DNA has been altered, so you can never go back to that previous place. And if you feel like life is not so great, you're still modified into a genetic line of glory. Still modified into. Even if I don't choose your blessings, Lord, he's still going to pour them out. Even if I don't choose his kindness and his healing, he's still going to pour it out. Even if I don't want my heart healed, he's still going to heal my heart. He's just going to keep finding clever ways to do it. Or in the case with my sister, he just sort of snuck up on us. Now, he'd probably been telling me for a few years what to do. But he just figured out, I'm just going to figure out a way to get in here. I know what she really wants. He's committed to this alteration process right through to the end. Father, thank you that we can step back, that we're not limited with time, that we can just step back into, oh yeah, I momentarily forgot. You're the one who altered me. You're the one who has rewired how I think. You're big enough to completely rewire my whole belief system. Whoa. Just increase, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do today. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Wow. Father God, let your power fall this morning in this meeting. Let my heart be truly encouraged that no matter what is going on around, the one who I decided on all those years ago and decided on again this morning, not only are you huge, not only are you powerful, but you are so loving to me. You will figure out a way to get a blessing to me. You will figure out a way to heal my heart. You will figure out a way to break through circumstances against me. Father, we just put our hands in you again. So, and I just want to encourage you, if you've been having a week or